Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday evening, January 5th, 2025.
Wow.
The time just goes by so fast, Ed. You know, if you would have asked me 25 years ago if I would be doing this, I would have said no way.
Right.
I would never have thought I would be doing a radio program for a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, how my life has changed over those years. And it's all part of the Christian walk, isn't it?
It is.
So
it's amazing where God brings you, places you never thought you'd go.
It's so true. And, you know, I look back on my life, and I didn't know at the time that God was working in my life. And now when I reflect back, I can see his hand at so many different places in my life. And I really hope that the listener is experiencing that same thing. Take the time to look.
Yeah.
You know, take the time to reflect on those things. But we're really glad you're with us this evening. We're here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And we want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all of these years and working with us as well as he does, and just keeping this program going and on this independent music station.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing that, like you said just last week, he allows us to say whatever we want to say. He gives us this format to be able to just open the Bible and see what it says, no matter how controversial it is. And that's something that's lost these days. But, you know, we just, first of all, we want you to know that we're here every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. At least we try to be. Sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
And, Ed, can you tell us a little bit about this ministry?
Yes, we're a little ministry that started around 2012. We moved into Stanton area in 2015, and we have our services on Wednesday evening, have prayer time / Bible study. We have our church service on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday, and we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then we have our worship hour at 11.
And we Zoom the Bible study and the Sabbath school.
Yeah.
And also, if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. Or if you can't remember our names, you can send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. And one of the things we want to encourage you to do is, you know, we're starting a new year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not a New Year resolution guy, but sometimes it's like a new beginning. Maybe you could open your Bible once a day and just read a verse or two each day. Even if it's just one or two verses, and get in that routine, get in that habit. If you don't have a Bible, contact us and we'll try to get you a Bible. We'll ship one to you or have one drop shipped to you. And we've done that with a number of people. And so we want to encourage you to open God's Word daily. It makes a difference in your life, doesn't it, Ed?
Yeah, and you don't have to wait for a new year to do that. Every morning is a new opportunity.
Absolutely.
To experience a closer relationship to God and His Son. It's a chance to learn more from God's Word, not just for the sake of knowledge, but for changing your life.
Amen. What a difference it makes. You know, when I think about my lifestyle today versus what it was like, you know, I thought I was having a good time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was in the world. I was doing the things of the world. And, you know, let's be honest, I was having a good time,
mm-hmm.
but my quality of life is so much better. I don't have the worries. I don't have the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all of the problems that I had. And even in so many different ways, my life is so much better today than it was in the year 2000.
Right. Yeah.
And even each year, year by year, even though I'm getting older and things are changing.
Yeah.
My life is better now than it was even 5 years ago. And it's something that you have to experience. You just can't explain it. But, you know, we just want to encourage you to read your Bible. And as we study these things, open your Bible and read it along with us so that you can see the words on the page. And I think, is there any other business to do, Ed?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word, the Bible, to instruct us in our lives, to give us hope in our lives, to give us direction. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that you may send the Spirit of Christ into our hearts to direct our lives. Father, we ask for wisdom and knowledge as we study these things today and to guide us by the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ed, last week, we've been talking for a number of weeks now about what a lot of Christians are focusing on. And it seems that Christians today, the majority of Christians, are focusing on the nation of Israel.
Right.
And a lot of churches believe that Israel, the nation of Israel, are God's chosen people. So what we've been doing, go ahead.
Chosen people today.
Today, yeah. And we know that in the Bible, of course, you know, in the Old Testament,
right,
they were God's chosen people. And we've looked at a lot of different things with what happened. And as we've gone through this, it seems that the majority of people today are focusing their attention on the things that are going on in the Middle East.
Right.
They're looking over there thinking, well, something prophetic is going to happen because they've been really misled into believing that Israel is still the chosen people today.
Right.
Now, you know, we've gone through a number of texts over the past few weeks. If you've missed those programs, you will find them archived. I hope to have all of those on the website here shortly. I've been working on that lately. And you can go back and listen to those programs. But, you know, whether it be a bookstore, whether it be online, whether it be a church, whatever it is, it seems like many people are looking in the wrong place.
Right.
They're looking at Israel, the nation, rather than at God's word to see what it says.
Right.
So the past few weeks, we've taken a lot of time to look at these not necessarily the prophecies, but what the Bible says about who Israel is. This week, you and I were talking about picking up here in the book of Acts.
Right.
Now, what did you have in mind to kind of see what the Bible says?
When we look at the history of God's interaction with the people on this earth, sending his Son, the literal Son of God, Jesus Christ, to this earth, and the Jews rejected him. They crucified him. They put him to death. And now Christ has risen. He has returned to heaven. And in the book of Acts, we see the account of the early Christian church and how they start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And so how do the Jews then react to this preaching? And so I'd like to start in Acts chapter 3.
Okay.
And this account is fairly long. It's 26 verses. But I think it gives us an idea of how God is still trying to reach the Jewish nation, even after the death of Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's clarify. When we talk about the nation of Israel, does that mean that a Jewish person, cannot be saved?
No, not at all.
Okay.
In fact, God desires everyone to be saved.
Amen. And so we're looking at the people that God chose. In fact, there was a verse that we read that says, if you will do these things, then you will be my people.
Right.
That was in the first study that we began.
Mm-hmm.
So God has, just like anybody, if you're a parent, you have requirements for your children.
Right.
If you're a boss, you have requirements for your employees. Our Creator requires something of us. And all he asks for, really, is obedience.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And if we obey God, if we accept his Son, the gift that he has given us for eternal life, we're his.
All right.
It's just that simple, isn't it?
Those are the people of God. Those are the sons of God.
Amen. And we'll drive that home. The Bible drives that home in the New Testament. So where are we picking up here?
Let's go to Acts chapter 3 and I want to read verses 1 through 26. This is the modern King James Version. And on the same day, Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was being carried. And they laid him daily at the temple gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered into the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And he's asking for money.
Right.
To support himself.
Means. Yes. And just so you know, the ninth hour is about 3 p.m.
Okay. And fastening, verse 4, and fastening his eyes on him, Peter with John said, "Look on us." And he paid heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, notice he wasn't praising John and Peter.
Right.
He was praising God.
Appropriately.
Yeah, because he was healed through the power of the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him, that it was him who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And as the lame one was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And seeing this, you know, Peter's taking advantage of this crowd gathering. Now he's going to start preaching.
Sure.
And seeing this, Peter answered the people, "Men, Israelites, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you stare at us as though we had made this man to walk by our own power or holiness? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denying him in the presence of Pilate, and when he had decided to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and Just One, and desired a murderer to be given to you." If you don't know the account or the story, the Jews were given the opportunity to choose between a man named Barabbas mm-hmm. and Jesus Christ. Barabbas had murdered someone. He was in jail, in prison, because of that. And they chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah, to free him instead of Christ. Yeah.
Verse 15, "And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. This one whom you see and know has his name made firm. And the faith which came through him has given him this perfect soundness before you. And now, brothers, I know that you did it through ignorance, as also your rulers did. But those things which God had before shown by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he fulfilled in this manner. Therefore, repent and convert, so that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." This times of refreshing is referred to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was proclaimed to you." This outpouring of the Spirit, this times of refreshing, is talking about sending Jesus Christ, who before was proclaimed to you, whom heaven truly needs to receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the Father, "The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet to you from your brothers, one like me. You shall hear him in all things, whatever he may say to you." This is talking about Jesus Christ. This was prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 23, "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Everyone that doesn't hear Jesus' words, don't follow his teachings, will be destroyed. And also all the prophets from Samuel and those following after, as many as spoke, have likewise foretold of these days. "Ye are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed.' having raised up his son Jesus, God sent him to you first to bless you and turning every one of you away from his iniquities. Hmm. So this prophecy, which says to Abraham, and in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, is the prophecy of the promise of the Spirit.
Okay.
And here in verse 26, Peter's saying that that prophecy is God sending him his son, Jesus Christ, to you first. For what purpose? To turn you away from your iniquities, your sins. God is still working in the nation of Israel to try to convert them, to try to get them to believe in the Son of God for a way of salvation, for forgiveness of sins, for a new life, by sending the Spirit of his Son into their hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
And if he is rejected, then this means that God rejects them.
Yes, you're rejecting the way of salvation.
Absolutely.
You reject Jesus Christ, you reject God, his Father.
And keep in mind, you know, we kind of looked at this before, but when all of the services that were done in the sanctuary of the Old Testament were pointing to this very thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, it was pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And now that they were completed, fulfilled, there was no need to continue in those. John and Peter went to the temple because that's where the people were gathered together, and they were preaching to them the story of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
They were pointing to the Son of God as,
yes,
this is the only way to salvation. It's not through these things that you're doing in the temple anymore.
Yeah, and they were saying, this isn't anything new that you should know, because this is the prophets spoke of. They prophesied, and now these things have occurred and are occurring. That God, having raised up his son Jesus, God sent him to you first to bless you and turn every one of you away from his iniquities or away from sin. That's talking about God sending the Spirit of his son.
So let's back up to verse 22 for just a moment. Verse 22 of Acts,
okay,
chapter 3. It says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you will hear, you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be, what's it say? Utterly destroyed from among the people. Well, let me ask you, has the nation of Israel accepted this prophet?
No,
they haven't. How can we possibly read these? This is in the New Testament.
Right.
It's referring to the Old Testament.
Right.
He gave them a warning. If you reject my son, I will reject you.
I don't know how many people understand that. We've gone there before. We can go there again. That understand that Jesus only spoke the words his Father gave him to speak, because he understood that his Father's instructions, his Father's word, were the way to life everlasting. You can find that in John chapter 12, the last maybe 8 to 10 verses. Mm-hmm. And so this is just, it continues to be that way. If you don't read the Bible and believe Christ's words and believe in the story of salvation through the Son of God, then what hope of salvation do you have? This is the way of life.
So this is the problem with much of the Christian church today, is they hear what the pastors are saying.
Right.
They're not opening the Word of God and reading these verses. Here we are, we're reading right in the New Testament. Now, again,
after Christ has been raised from the dead.
Absolutely. He had died, he's been resurrected, now he's back in the heavens at this,
right,
point that we're reading about. He's in the heavens today.
Right.
He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. There's only one way to the Father, Ed, and how is that?
That's through the Son, Jesus Christ.
Through the Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, speaking of himself, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Right.
Jesus' words.
This is as much of the part of the plan of salvation as Christ's death on the cross.
Absolutely.
Now he has sent his son again through his Spirit to the nation of Israel to turn them away from their iniquities.
And if they don't accept this, then they're lost.
Yes.
And this is, go ahead.
God has given the nation of Israel 3.5 years after Christ went, after his resurrection and his return to heaven, to continue to hear the gospel.
Yes.
This is prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. And we'll get there eventually.
We will.
But this is prophecy. They would continue to reject Jesus Christ and the message that his followers preach. And we'll see that as we go along.
Sure. And look, this is a warning. These things are very serious. We often sit in our churches, we listen to the pastors, we hear what they say, we see what the news is doing. The devil tries to distract us.
Right.
He doesn't want us to focus on God's word. So any sidebar he can insert, any way he can get us in one ditch or the other, this is how he takes us away from the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you have this nation of Israel that's lost, but then we become lost because we begin to believe what everybody else is saying instead of what God's word
right.
says. These men that were speaking at this time knew and understood the plan of salvation. That's why these things are recorded for us here.
Right. So let's look and see how the Jewish leaders responded to this miracle that God did through John and Peter, through the power in the name of his Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Good.
Let's go to Acts 4. And Mark, can you read verses 1 through 22?
Yes, I'll try to read that. Acts 4, 1 through 22, said. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible here. It says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them."
Can you stop there
sure,
just a second?
Absolutely.
"It grieved them that they taught the people, even to announce through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." There was a group of the religious leaders called the Sadducees
mm-hmm.
that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead.
Right.
So not only were they preaching Jesus Christ, but they were preaching this resurrection of the dead, neither one of which they believed in.
Right. So there were Pharisees.
Yeah.
And there were Sadducees. And just, I've got to share this.
I know, you like this.
I have to share this. So how I remember, like Brother Ed said, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's sad, you see.
Yeah.
I can't help myself.
Yeah.
I love that one. I heard that years ago when I was a kid.
Verse 3.
Here we go. Acts chapter 4, verse 3. "And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
This sermon, which actually started with this healing of this man through the power of the name of Jesus, and now they had this opportunity to explain to the people that gathered around, and 5,000 people believed. What?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would love to see something like that happen today.
Amen.
You know, it just seems like people are turning away. So let's see, verse 5. "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had sat them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was received by you builders, which has become the chief..." Let me read that again because I read that completely wrong. "This is the stone which was rejected rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So that name, of course, is
Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh.
And there's no other way to salvation. That's what this is telling us. It's not through a nation. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak things which we have seen against which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed.
So let's go back to verse 11, where it talks about this stone, which the builders have counted worthless or rejected.
Okay.
This is referring to the building of the temple. Interesting. Building of the temple, where they brought in all the stoneworks from the quarries that had already been pre-cut, already been, I don't know how they did that. I can't imagine in my mind as the fire engine goes by how they accomplished it. But then they transported them all to the place where the temple would be built. Mm. And they had this one stone. They couldn't figure out what to do with it. It didn't seem to fit any place. And it turned out to be the cornerstone about by which all the rest of the building is put together.
Right.
And this is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone.
Amen.
The stone that they rejected. They had set it aside. They didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. You see, the cornerstone is, that's where you start.
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
Right.
So Christ being the cornerstone, he's the foundation of the very church. And if we reject that, then we have no hope.
Right. When you look at Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of building this holy temple about of which we are part of to create a temple for the dwelling place of God by the Spirit.
Amen.
So God wants to dwell in you. The first temple or the first sanctuary built in the wilderness was because God told Moses, "I want to dwell within you. Make me a sanctuary so I can dwell among you." Now God wants to dwell in you.
Yes, and it's by the Spirit of his Son that he can do that.
Right.
Because the Son brings us the Spirit of the Father as well.
Yes.
So this is the beauty of the glorified Jesus who lives today.
Yeah. They're still rejecting the cornerstone.
They are, to this very day. To this very day. And friends, this is so important because I know this is hard to overturn because of the things that you constantly hear, the things that you're hearing in your churches, the things that the pastors are saying, the things that the news media is saying. Stop looking to Israel and start looking at God's word. Start looking to Jesus Christ.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen in Israel. I'm sure Satan has something planned that would going to deceive the world.
The Bible tells us he's going to deceive
the world. But salvation is not through a nation, not through a church, not through a government, not through you or I. It's through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's where we need to keep our focus.
Amen. Amen. So this, and these men at this time, in the first century, they knew and understood this. But look at what has happened. over the years, we've gone right back. And this is exactly what was prophesied in Matthew, that people would be deceived,
right,
that the devil would be deceiving them, that even some of the elect would be deceived if God doesn't cut it short.
And again, we're not saying that there aren't Jewish people of Jewish culture that don't follow Jesus Christ, because there are.
Absolutely.
But as a nation, they have rejected the Son of God.
Right. So where are we picking up, Ed?
Let's go to, let's continue in Acts and look at the account of Stephen.
Okay.
And I believe that's Acts chapter 7.
I believe so. That's where I am right now.
And so in Acts 6, Stephen has been arrested. And let's start in Acts 6, verse 8.
I think
maybe
that's a
good
idea.
Maybe you can read that. 8 okay. through 15.
All right, so here we go. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some of what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel.
All right, let's look at these accusations, because these are some of the same accusations that they made against Jesus, about Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place again. Jesus never said that.
No,
talking
didn't.
About the temple is what they're talking about.
Right.
Jesus said, "You destroy this temple," talking about his body when he was talking to
right.
the high priest and the religious leaders, "and I will raise it up again in 3 days."
Right.
And this new temple is talking about the church.
Right.
Of God dwelling in us through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, by the Spirit. That's the temple that he's building now. It's not a physical temple.
Correct.
It's a spiritual temple.
So, did you hear that, friends? It's not a physical temple.
Right.
Stop looking to Israel.
It's talking about the church of God, the followers of God, those who are obedient to God, who have salvation through the Son of God.
Right.
Those are the people that's being talked about. Can it be a Jewish person? Yes. Can it be a Muslim? Yes. Can it be any cultural? Yes.
Right. And when Ed says the church of God, it's talking about the church of God. He's not speaking of, there's a denomination called the church of God.
Okay, no.
We're talking about God's church. We're talking about God's people. The people make up the church.
Right. So in verse 14, talks about, not only do they accuse him that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us. You have to understand there were laws, and the law of Moses, for lack of a better word, which is actually just Moses taking dictation from
right.
God.
It's God's law.
Yeah. Which talked about how the temple services should be operated, how they should be performed.
With great detail, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. And all these services pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, the Son of God, God sending his Son to the earth mm-hmm. to experience life as we experience it, and to be put to death on the cross, to shed his blood for salvation for you and I.
Mm.
And once those things have been accomplished, there's no need to continue those things in the temple. So this is what they're upset about. You're trying to change what Moses told us to do.
Right.
And they didn't understand that this was a service that would point to the coming of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And also pointed forward past that to this event of God sending the Spirit of His Son into our hearts change us.
It was something different than they were used to.
Right. They weren't looking for that.
They weren't. And really, they should have been. Everything they were doing was pointing to this right. very thing. But because they're in their comfort zone, I don't like change, Ed.
No.
I don't like it. And the changes that I've had to make in my life for the things that the Bible says were not always easy, and they weren't always comfortable at first.
Right.
But it's always worked out for the best. And this, if we're not following Christ, we are completely lost.
All right. And so Stephen was preaching the gospel. He was preaching
Amen.
These things. And they arrested him. They wanted to stop it.
They made up stories.
Yes.
They placed people in areas to lie.
Yes.
They found people
false
who would
witness.
Give false testimony.
Yeah. Against, which is against the law of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how they tried to stop the gospel from being preached.
Listen to what they're saying. They're saying, you're making accusations against the law of Moses and telling us that we shouldn't follow these things and so on and so forth. Well, they weren't following the law of God, which says,
right.
don't bear false witness.
Yeah, they were breaking one of the Ten Commandments blatantly. Yeah.
Let's go to chapter 7. And
okay.
This is, what you'll hear is Stephen's response. It's actually a sermon that he starts preaching to these religious leaders, the men who claim that they're sent by God to direct the people. You know, let's just see what it says.
Okay.
Let me just read the first part here. And this, again, is from the Modern King James, starting in verse 1 of Acts chapter 7. Then the high priest said, then do you so hold these things? And he said, this is Stephen speaking, and he said, men, brothers, fathers, listen. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said to them, go out from your land and from your kindred and come into the land which I will show you. Here Stephen is starting the history of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. He's repeating to them the history.
And this is something that they are well aware of. So
yes.
as he's speaking, they're hearing things that they know he's telling the truth.
Right.
There's no doubt in their minds.
Verse 3 of chapter 7, and he said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and come into a land which I shall show you. And he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved into this land in which you now dwell. And he gave him no inheritance in it, no, not even a footbreadth. And he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, there being no child to him. Just to stop here, Abraham and his wife Sarah were without child.
Right.
And God had promised that through him, you know, he would be a blessing to all nations and that a mm-hmm. nation would come out of him.
Right.
For his heritage, a nation where you as many as the stars in the heavens.
Right.
And Stephen's just recounting that Abraham doesn't have a child yet.
And keep in mind that these people, everyone here knew who Abraham was.
Yeah.
They understood this.
And God spoke in this way, that his seed would be a tenant in another land, and that they would enslave it and oppress it for 400 years, talking about when the children of Jacob went to Egypt mm-hmm. because of the famine. They lived there, multiplied, and then they were put into slavery through because the Egyptians were afraid of them. Verse 7, and God said, I will judge the nation to whom they shall be in bondage. And after these things, they will come out and will serve me in this place. So this is talking about Jesus, God bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt.
Sure. And, you know, I hope that people will take the time to look at these accounts.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of things that point to Christ even there we can see.
Right. And verse 8, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. That's Abraham. And so Abraham fathered Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. Then Isaac fathered Jacob, and Jacob the 12 patriarchs. And being jealous of Joseph, these are all stories that accounts that they're, you know, just the history.
It's history.
It would take us forever to go through all, each one of these stories.
It would.
But just be aware, they're in the Old Testament. And being jealous of Joseph, the patriarch sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and plucked him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom over against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he appointed him governor over Egypt and all his household. But a famine came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and a great affliction, and our fathers found no food. But hearing grain was in Egypt, Jacob sent out our fathers first, talking about Joseph's brothers. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's race was made known to Pharaoh. And seeing, Joseph called his father Jacob and all his kindred 75 souls. And Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem, and they were laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a price of silver from the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. This is hundreds of years of history that's being talked about here. But as the time was drawing near of the promise which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt until another king arose who did not know Joseph, dealing subtly with our race. This one oppressed our fathers, causing their infants to be exposed so as not to be left alive. This, again, is one of the stories where the Pharaoh commanded all the Egyptian sons be put to death when they were born. So the nation would continue to grow. In this time, Moses, verse 20, was born and was beautiful to God, who was brought up 3 months in his father's house. And being cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and reared him to be a son to her. This is talking about when his mother and father hid him in a basket of built by reeds in the water, in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter found him there and brought him into her own house and started raising him as Pharaoh's son. Verse 22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when a period of 40 years was fulfilled to him, it arose in his heart to look upon his brothers, the sons of Israel. And seeing one being wrong, he defended him and avenged him who was oppressed and struck the Egyptian. For he thought his brothers would understand that God would give them deliverance by his hand, but they did not understand. The next day he appeared to them. By the way, Moses killed this Egyptian. And the next day he appeared to them. He appeared to them while fighting, and he urged them to peace, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you do wrong one another?" He found two of the Israelites fighting each other. But he was, who was wronged his neighbor, thrust him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Will you not kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses fled at this word and became a temporary resident in the land of Midian, where he fathered two sons. And 40 years being fulfilled to him, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the desert of Mount Sinai in the flame of a fire in a bush. Again, remember, this is Stephen preaching to the elders of Israel, to the Jewish leaders, the history of the nation. And seeing it, Moses marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to see it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." But Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, "Loosen your sandals and your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groan, and I came down to pluck them out. And now come, I will send you into Egypt." This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" God has sent this one to be a ruler and a redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. Let's stop here for a moment.
Okay.
God has sent Moses as a deliverer.
Yes.
To the nation of Israel.
Absolutely.
Kept in bondage, kept in slavery in the nation of Egypt. Egypt represents sin spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
God has sent his son Jesus to Israel while they're in bondage to sin and they reject him.
Yes.
This is just a typo of what was going to happen in the future when Jesus would be sent by God into this world.
Moses acted as an intercessor,
yes,
for Israel, just as Christ is our intercessor. And the other thing, you know, when as we're going through this, Ed, I've read this account many, many times. This is the best summary of really, it's Genesis, Exodus, and Deuteronomy,
yes,
all summarized in just a 30 or 40 verses.
Yeah.
And this is the history of Israel. I mean, he's wrapped it all up, and you know, he's not reading this.
Right.
He's just speaking extemporaneously because this is such a part of their heritage.
Right.
Every Jew, every single Jew knew and understood this. They knew this history. So as he's talking, this should be sticking. They should be saying, yeah, this is right. This is true.
The reason he's doing this is because all these things point to the Son of God being,
absolutely,
sent to this earth.
Yes. And so they're hearing it, and they're hearing truth, and they know this is right. They know this is right. But as we read this and see what happens, how is this any different than what the churches are doing today?
Right.
How is it any different? How is it any different than what the nation of Israel is doing today?
Right. Verse 36, he brought them out after he had worked wonders and miracles in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses who said to the sons of Israel, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet to you from your brothers, one like me. You shall hear him. We just went over this, mm-hmm, a few minutes ago. This is Deuteronomy 18.
Right.
This prophet is Jesus Christ. Verse 38, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him in Mount Sinai and with their fathers who received the living words to give to us, talking about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this prophecy that Moses was given about Christ that was to come later. Verse 39, in whom our fathers would not be obedient, but thrust him away and turn back again to Egypt in their hearts, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. God told Moses to go up to the Mount Sinai to be with him. Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights with God,
right,
receiving instructions from God. The children of Israel didn't know what happened to him. So they told Aaron, make us gods.
Yeah.
And so Aaron made a god, a golden calf out of gold,
and
they started worshiping.
He put it on an altar.
Yeah,
and he said, "This was to Jehovah your God."
And so, verse 40, saying to Aaron, "Make us gods to go before us. For as far as this Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Interesting.
Hmm.
Now, Jesus Christ, after he was raised from the dead, went to heaven.
He did.
He's no longer on earth, but he's still active. God has sent the Spirit of his Son. Are the Jewish nation still saying, we don't know what happened to this fellow?
Hmm.
Make us gods that we can worship.
Right.
And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice to the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them over to serve the host of the heavens. It is written in the book of the prophets, O house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness? Yet you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Remphah, images which you made in order to worship them, and I will remove you beyond Babylon. They chose to serve other gods than the God who created the heavens, mm-hmm, and the earth. the tabernacle of witness, which is among our fathers in the wilderness, as commanded by God, speaking to Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had been seeing, which also having received it by inheritance with Joshua, our fathers, with Joshua, in taking possession of the nations whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor with God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Talking about the temple, the focus of the nation of Israel was on their temple.
On the building.
Yeah. Now, at Jesus' time, it was the second temple, because Solomon's temple had been destroyed by the nation of Babylon. Verse 48, but the Most High God does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? I'm sure this is offensive.
Sure.
Because he's saying the God that created the heavens and earth doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Verse 50, has not my hand made all these things? O stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your father did, as your fathers did, so you do. Circumcision was very important to them.
Right.
It was a sign of their culture, their nation. What does he say? O stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Even if you did hear it, you don't believe it in your heart. You reject it. You refuse it. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have been the betrayers and murderers. Remember, Jesus is a prophet. He was a prophet that God told Moses will come after him, that would preach the words that he gave him, that God gave Jesus to preach, and they're still rejecting prophets, the prophet Christ Jesus. Let me read this again, verse 52. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been betrayers and murderers. They're no different than the history of their nation.
Exactly. They're following their footsteps.
Who received the law through disposition of angels and did not keep it. Does the law not say, do not murder?
It does.
And hearing these things, they were cut to the hearts, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But being full of the Holy Spirit, looking up intently into heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the God. This is Stephen full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And crying out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears and ran unto him with one accord. And throwing him outside of the city, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes down at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, who was calling on God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
So, in other words, he died.
Yes.
They stoned him to death.
Verse 56 is very important. When it says, behold, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
Yeah, he's not sitting, is he?
No, he's standing. If you read in the book of Daniel, it talks about when a king comes into power, it talks about him standing up.
Right.
He's prophesying that Jesus is going to come to power. He's going to come into his kingdom. He's going to stand up. He sees him standing at the right hand of the throne of God. They know what this means. They know this is the Jesus who was proclaimed to be the Son of God, who they crucified, they rejected, they murdered. And now they continue to do that because now they reject the message that God sent through Stephen, and they put him to death as well.
You know, when a judge stands, his judgment is done.
Yes.
He gets off of his seat.
Yep.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, but this is powerful.
This is the completion of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9, the end of the 70 weeks, the total rejection of Jesus Christ through this event here.
Well, maybe, you know, we're just about out of time. Yeah. Maybe next week let's review this and we'll go back to Daniel and we'll look and see what it has to say about this.
Right.
So, you know, think about what's taken place here. He recounted their whole history.
Yes.
They knew these things. They were cut to the heart, it says.
They knew the history, this prophecy that God gave Moses, that I will send you another prophet like you, who will speak the words I have given him to speak. You need to hear him. If not, you know, I will reject you.
And look at verse 54, Ed.
Uh-huh.
When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw Jesus. You know, think about what's happening here. They're hearing these things, and they don't want to hear it.
No. They stop up their ears.
They do.
Like little kids. You know?
Yeah. La, 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 la. Yeah. You know, plugging their ears. Yeah. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And really, how is this any different then than it is today?
Right. It's not.
We share with people what God's word says. We share with them this very account, and they don't want to hear it.
Right.
They want to stick to what their traditions, what they traditionally have been taught, just like the
Jews. So, Mark, you've had conversations with a Jewish rabbi here in our local area.
Yes.
What do they end up doing? They reject portions of the Old Testament, which prophesy these things.
And we're going to look at that next week. We will take a close look. We are out of time, Ed. What a beautiful account. Friends, I hope you'll continue to read these things. So we have to close with prayer.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to open your word and see these things, how all of Scripture points toward you and your Son and the blessings that you've poured out on people. And Father, we just ask that hearts and minds and eyes and ears will be unstopped, that they will be opened, and that people will receive your word and hear what you have to say to them. So Father, please allow people to think about these things as they listen to this program, and I just ask that you will bless them and help them to see simply the words that are on the printed page that you have provided for us. Please keep us safe, Father, until we come together again next time, and we ask for your Spirit to guide and direct us in all we do. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, we're really glad you are with us this evening. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.